Hello, everybody. This is Dan Trotter, Pretty Good Bible Studies. I am now going to take up 1 Kings chapter 7, only the first 12 verses. This is the description of Solomon's palace, his personal living palace, as opposed to his temple, which was described in the last chapter. In our next audio, we'll take up again with the temple furnishings. So these 12 verses are sort of an interlude in Solomon's construction activities to talk about his personal living space. And we're going to see that his personal living space was even more awesome than the temple. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the first 12 verses, the entire description of Solomon's edifice complex, his complex of buildings. It was more than one building. And scholars disagree on exactly what was built and what the functions for each building were. So I'll mention that when I discuss these 12 verses. But I'm going to read just the 12 verses so you get an idea of the grandeur of the thing. And I'm not going to stop to describe each little part of the construction until later. So I'm just going to read it through. Starting with verse 1. Now Solomon was building his own house 13 years, and he finished all his house. He built the house of the forest of Lebanon. Its length was 100 cubits, and its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits, on four rows of cedar pillars with cedar beams on the pillars. It was paneled with cedar above the side chambers, which were on the 45 pillars, 15 in each row. There were artistic window frames in three rows, and window was opposite window in three ranks. All the doorways and doorposts had squared artistic frames, and window was opposite window in three ranks. Then he made the hall of pillars. Its length was 50 cubits, and its width 30 cubits. And a porch was in front of them, and pillars, and a threshold in front of them. He made the hall of the throne where he was to judge, the hall of judgment, and it was paneled with cedar from floor to floor. His house where he was to live, the other court inward from the hall, was of the same workmanship. He made a house like this hall for Pharaoh's daughter, whom Solomon had married. All these were of costly stones, of stone cut according to measure, sawed with saws, inside and outside, even from the foundation to the coping, and so on the outside to the great court. The foundation was of costly stones, even large stones, stones of 10 cubits and stones of 8 cubits. And above were costly stones, stone cut according to measure, and cedar. So the great court all around had three rows of cut stone and a row of cedar beams, even as the inner court of the house of the Lord and the porch of the house. Well, this description is impossible to bring forth into your mind exactly what the house looked at. So I'm going to try to break it down a little bit. We'll start, first of all, in verse 1. Now, Solomon was building his own house 13 years. That is to be contrasted with a temple, which only took 7.5 years to build. Now, commentators will sometimes make a big deal of this. For example, John Gill and Ligonier, R.C. Sproul's outfit, they say that because Solomon spent 13 years building his house, but he only spent 7.5 years building the temple, that shows he was more interested in his own glory rather than the glory of God. You could make an argument against that, though. You can say, well, it took Solomon longer because there wasn't as much preparation work done at the quarries and at the timber sites in Lebanon before the construction started as there was done at the temple. Because remember, the temple, they couldn't use any tools on the temple when the temple was built. It had to be done in silence. And so the stones were dressed before they were dragged to the temple site. Well, I'm not sure that you can account for 5.5 years of time that it took longer to build Solomon's house just because they had to dress the stones at the quarry. However, the pulpit commentator says, quote, there is no contrast implied between the time spent upon the temple and that occupied in the building of the palace. Well, I don't know if the time shows that Solomon was more interested in the glory of God than his own glory, but as we go through this palace that he built, I think just the construction itself, no matter how long it took to build, shows that Solomon was more interested in his glory than the glory of God. Now, Solomon waited till after the temple was built to start on his own palace. That was nice. 1 Kings 9:10, we read, at the end, and it came about at the end of 20 years in which Solomon had built the two houses, the house of the Lord and the king's house. So you take 7.5 and add 13, that's 20 years. They were built back to back. The first building that is mentioned in this palace complex is a complex. It's more than one building. Verse 2 is called the Forest of Lebanon, 100 by 50 by 30 cubits. Four rows of cedar pillars, cedar beams on top of the pillars. Now, why was it called the Forest of Lebanon? Well, it was built of the cedars of Lebanon, of course. But Jigil says it was called that also because this building was among groves of trees on the outside which resembled cedars of Lebanon. That's a speculation. Seems to have been a summer house. That's another speculation. It was very common amongst the old commentators. I don't think so. Here is a description by Wayne Blank, brother I found on the internet. I don't know him. Quote, "The house of the Forest of Lebanon was the name given by King Solomon to a part of the palace complex in Jerusalem. As its name implies, it was built using a large amount of Lebanese wood, specifically cedars of Lebanon. While cedar was used throughout and for roofing, it may have gotten the name forest because of the many pillars and beams of cedar inside the structure. The House of the Forest of Lebanon was a grand area of the palace complex, not only because of the magnificence of its structure, but also from the articles of gold that Solomon stored within." We're going to see in a little bit that this is probably the armory of the kingdom in this House of the Forest of Lebanon. It had four rows of pillars. That's probably where the idea, in my opinion, that's where the idea of the forest came from. Pillars of Lebanon, pillars of cedars from Lebanon running up and down the length of the building. It also had side chambers, of course, where a bunch of things were stored. The artistic window frames in three rows, one window opposite another window. I think that means one window on top of another window in three ranks. Squared artistic frames and so forth. Now let me read some more descriptions of this Forest of the House of Lebanon. This is from a gentleman called Samuel Sharp. It was, quote, "little more than a roof upheld by a number of columns, each of which was a cedar tree. This was the royal armory, holding not only weapons of war, but those ornamental arms which were used on state occasions. In this building were lodged the runners, capital R, runners, a body of men who attended the king wherever he moved, to carry his commands to the distant parts of the kingdom. Here were kept the golden shields which the runners carried before the king when he went in state into the house of Jehovah." Now here's what Encyclopedia.com says about the House of the Forest of Lebanon. It, quote, "probably served as the entrance to the king's palace. Scholars have sought to explain the function and primary purpose of the house. Several scholars maintain that the house served as a royal guardhouse containing rooms used as arsenals." That would be the side rooms. This is attested by 1 Kings 10, 17-21 and Isaiah 22, 8. Various references are made to the golden shields of the guard, 2 Chronicles 9:16, and the precious golden vessels, 2 Chronicles 9:20, which were kept in the house. R. DeVoe, in his book Les Livres des Rois, believes that the house was used as a foyer for festive processions connected with court life, and that the royal guard was stationed there. Though the exact purpose of the building is not certain, it is most likely that the technical innovation of its style, rather than the particular importance of the building itself, made it a subject for biblical elaboration. Well, it seems like there's somewhat of a consensus that the building was used for an armory, even though we don't know for sure. Some commentators have said that this was a separate building, like a summer house, separate from the rest of the palace complex, like Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown. I'm going to take it as being part of the complex that was surrounded by the wall, which is mentioned in verse 12. Now, the length and width of the House of the Forest of Lebanon was 100 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high. Now, this is just for one part of Solomon's buildings here in the complex, just the House of the Forest of Lebanon. Just the House of the Forest of Lebanon was by itself bigger than the temple. The temple was 60 cubits long. The House of the Forest of Lebanon was 100 cubits long. The temple was 20 cubits wide. The House of the Forest of Lebanon was 50 cubits. Well, Solomon could justify that, I guess, because that building had to accompany courtiers and ambassadors from other nations and so forth, whereas the temple only had to accommodate the priests. Well, maybe. But I think Solomon was just trying to show what a big, powerful king he was. In verse 3, the House of the Forest of Lebanon is said to be made of cedar. Now, cedar has resins within it that make the wood impervious to insects, but those resins also make cedar burn better when it gets lit on fire. That didn't help too much when Babylonia burnt the city down in 586 and destroyed the temple. Now, there were three rows of windows on the sides of the House of the Forest of Lebanon. That would have to be on the north, east, and south sides, because on the west is where the porch was, which we'll talk about in just a minute. Verse 5 begins the discussion of another building, the Hall of Pillars. That's what I was just mentioned, on the west end of the house. So you have to add 30 cubits to the length of the House of the Forest of Lebanon, which was 100, for a total of 130 cubits. And, of course, its width of the Hall of Pillars matched the width of the palace of the House of the Forest of Lebanon. Let's read a description of this Hall of Pillars from Samuel Sharp. At the back of the royal palace, and separated from it by a courtyard, he built a portico within which was placed a throne. This was called the Porch of the Throne, or the Porch of Judgment, and the courtyard in front of it is mentioned in the New Testament under the names of the pavement, capital P, pavement, and Gabbatha, or back of the house, which is what Gabbatha means. Of course, those places are famous because that's where Herod sat when he was judging Jesus. Under this porch or portico, Solomon sat to administer justice. So you come out of the west end of the Hall of the Forest of Lebanon. You go into a courtyard, and then you keep going, and you end up in a porch, a covered porch, where there was a throne. And so that's the Porch of the Throne, or the Porch of Judgment, portico, or Porch of the Throne. And in verse 5, it's called the Hall of Pillars. Now, it had Solomon's throne in it, but other purposes of the porch could be the porch was used for guards to keep watch in, for courtiers to walk in, sheltered from the rain and sun because it was covered as they went through that courtyard in between. And, of course, it added to the grandeur and magnificence of the whole building. Now, another building that's mentioned beyond the Hall of Pillars is the house for the daughter of Pharaoh. All of the buildings were said to be made of costly stones. In verse 9, that would be stones like marble or porphyry. Now, this house for Pharaoh's daughter is the third building mentioned. The first was the House of the Forest of Lebanon. The second was the Hall of Judgment, where Solomon's throne was. And now this third house is the house for Pharaoh's daughter. Let me read what Adam Clark says about that. Quote, "This appears to have been a third house, probably the whole three made but one building, and were in the same place." When he says one building, I'm assuming he's meaning one complex. Because he says, Clark says, they were in the same place but distinguished from each other. The first is Solomon's palace. That would be the Hall of the Forest of the Cedars of Lebanon. The second is a house of judgment, that's the Hall of Pillars that we just talked about, a courthouse. And the third, the harem, are apartments for the women. Now, you notice that Clark doesn't mention anywhere for Solomon himself to live. And that's a puzzle because it's really not mentioned in the text that I can see. Here's what Colin Delitzsch says about that. Quote, "The palace consisted of several buildings connected together, namely, one, the House of the Forest of Lebanon, two, the Pillar Hall, the Hall of Pillars with the porch, which we just talked about. Three, the throne room and judgment hall." So he separates out the portico with the throne and the Hall of Pillars. I suppose he makes the courtyard in between the throne room and the House of the Forest of Lebanon. He makes it a pillar hall. I don't know. But again, you can see how the scholars are not sure about exactly what we're looking at when we read these verses. So that's a difference, but that's not what I'm aiming at here with Colin Delitzsch's quote. We go to his fourth building, which I'm going to take to be the third building, the king's dwelling house and the house of Pharaoh's daughter. So you see Colin Delitzsch say, yeah, that's for the Pharaoh's daughter to live in, but the king is going to live there too. It's just not mentioned in the text. Well, let me summarize all this with what Ligonier says. We do not know the function of every building. The Hall of Judgment was where Solomon heard legal disputes. We do know that. Beyond that, the purposes of the other buildings are obscure. Now, one more verse, verse 12. This is actually a fairly easy verse, even though it's incomprehensible when you read it, but we had the same thing in the last chapter about a wall that went around the temple. This is a wall that goes around the whole palace complex here in verse 12. So the great court all around had three rows of cut stone and a row of cedar beams. Now, those three rows of cut stone most probably are rows of stone laid on the ground, and then on the first row, and then on the second row, and then on the third, and, well, on the second row to make a wall of three rows of stone. And then on the top of the third row, the the highest row of stone, there was a coping made out of cedar beams, not stone, but cedar beams. So there was a wooden coping around the whole wall. And this wall in verse 12 is said to be even as the inner court of the house of the Lord. In the last chapter, we talked about the temple had two courts, the outer court, also called the great court, and then the inner court or the higher court, or the court of the priest, that's the inner court. The inner court had a wall around it made out of three rows of cut stone and a row of cedar beams. And again, this is controversial, but that, I think that's the best explanation of what those three rows of stone and rows of cedar beams are. I've got some great pictures here you can find on the internet. Look under Solomon's Palace. Get all these pictures. These are artist conceptions. Again, it's controversial and not precise, but the overall impression is of a living quarters that is more than you and I will ever need. Ladies and gentlemen, I have finished this audio describing Solomon's palace. That prepares us now to go back to the temple and look at the temple furnishings, which I'll do in the next audio as we finish up 1 Kings 7. We'll go verses 13 through 51, the temple furnishings. I hope you stay tuned for that, and I hope you enjoy this audio.